What's up, guys? John Smalios from the High Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. I'm excited to be back. It's been about a few years since the last one. We've got an awesome episode to bring it all back to you. I traveled down to Melbourne to have a chat with our legendary coach, Big Phil. It was an awesome chat. I'm excited to bring a few more episodes to you guys very soon. What else? You're a bunch of legends. Thank you for listening. Feel free to share and everything else. Thank you so much. Enjoy. Us. Big Phil.
How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks, buddy. We're here at Leverage Jiu-Jitsu. And we need to talk, Big Phil. We need to talk. It's been a while. And I'm interested today in discussing this idea of the Jiu-Jitsu long game. And I feel like, you know, in the process of, you know, every day showing up to class, you know, looking to get your next stripe, looking to make your belt color slightly darker, there's a little, like, you know, short-term battles, but there's a very, very important long-term goal, like a destination that you got to get to. And I think Jiu-Jitsu is... like you said, like it's so many different things to different people. How do we, my question for you today is, how do we keep the end? What is the goal ultimately? And how do we keep the goal in this stuff that we're doing that's, that we call Jiu-Jitsu, that we love?
Well, the goal, Pedro Sauer said this a long time ago to me. And it was a goal that I set for not just myself, but as a culture in the academy here, in that Jiu-Jitsu is for life. So what does that mean? For me, what it meant is, for life means it's going to evolve with you over your life. Yeah, so when you're young and you're sort of full of piss and vinegar and competitive spirit and you want to fight and you want to prove yourself and you want to test yourself and you're going to fight, you're going to go and compete, and you fight in the gym, and you train hard, and you're trying to beat people, and you're going to do that a bunch. If you train, I've been training for almost 25 years. If you train for as long as I've trained, you're going to do that a bunch. You're going to beat a bunch of people, you're going to lose a bunch of fights, you're going to win a bunch of fights, you're going to compete a lot, you're going to do all that. And then at some point, it's not that you can't compete anymore. I can still compete, but it's not about competing. It's about, if I'm going to continue to do this, there's got to be more to it. Because there is, at some point, your body's going to say, no, you can't compete anymore, you can't fight with that sort of intensity anymore on a regular basis. But does that mean we can't train? I don't think so. Because if you're going to keep, if you look at Jiu-Jitsu as a subject matter, there's no bottom, there's no end to it. You can improve incrementally in a million different areas at a time. So if you're going to do this for a long, like, you'd know this as a fact, because once you get your black belt, doesn't it feel like the shackles sort of come off? Like, there's nothing really, there's no more gradings. I mean, you're still going to earn stripes, but they're just time now. So doesn't it feel like after the black belt, you really start looking at yourself internally and saying, what do I need to fix myself?
Well, like, I'll tell you what it was. Like, it's like going up a hill, and you're just trying to go up the hill, and then you get to the top. Rashad Evans said this when he became a champ. And you're there, and you're like, oh, is this it? Like, it's all right. It's a black belt, you know. And I tie up a black one around my waist, and I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing.
Nothing changes really.
Years beforehand.
But what happens after black belt? You'll find that if you're gonna keep doing this, I mean, as a practitioner, and I say this to my guys after purple belt, you need to be thinking about your Jiu-Jitsu yourself. It's not like after purple belt, you've been training 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years, depends how long you've trained, but you've been training for a while, you've done a lot of hours, you should have a good understanding about Jiu-Jitsu, all the positions and what you're doing, and what the sort of strategy is. And you should have an idea where you have weaknesses. You should have an idea where you have strengths. And what you want to do is, when you come to class, is improve your weaknesses and fix them, close them up, and keep your strengths as strengths, and try and add to your strengths, right, as a practitioner. Right? And when you get to a point where you feel like you've sharpened it, there's no way you're going to have everything good. It's like I was saying, we were talking about this the other day with a bunch of guys here. It's like you're going to get to a point where it's almost like a video game character. Like you can have, say, 50 techniques at like an elite level at any time. And then you're going to have a bunch of techniques at a level below that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a whole massive amount of techniques at a level below that. Like a video game character sort of thing. Those top 50 techniques, they're your top A game. They work with everybody. You're going to use them all the time. And as you progress, you should know what they are. Like you should know what your best submissions are. You should know where your best sweeps are. You should know where your best positional attacks are. You mm-hmm. should know that from every position. You should know your best escapes from every position. You should know all those details. And find ways, avenues back to that. And that's why, like, if you're going to do this for life, as a practitioner for life, it can't just be about winning, about competing. At some point in time, it's got to be about actually studying the art.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to study the art, that means study the negative positions, study being on the bottom of mount, study being on the bottom without getting out, just staying there, not being choked, not being arm locked. You got to know how to do all this stuff. Like, and if you're going to have the ability to be able to duplicate yourself after black belt, like you have the ability to learn jiu-jitsu on your own. You don't need anybody else. If you think about what you're doing, actually mm-hmm. practice and put thought into what you're doing, and you've learned it with good mechanics, if you've learned it properly, you've learned it with good structure in the way it was taught to you, you should be able to self-develop from black belt on. I'm not saying you can't develop under others. You can for sure. And others that have gone further than you can save you time. But at no stage is anyone else going to be in your body. So it doesn't matter how much help you get. Like, I can show you the answers to a million of your problems. But if you don't sit down and work on them, it doesn't do you any good that I know the answers.
Do you know what I mean? It's a process for me to
still absorb.
Get them myself.
That's the whole idea of having an instructor and a guide, is that, you know, you run into a problem, but as you get more and further and further into the game, you should be able to solve a lot of those problems yourself. You know, if you've learned how to study jiu-jitsu.
Okay, and so if you've learned how to study jiu-jitsu,
yeah.
The thing that I see about that is, you know, you talk about, you know, the those 50 positions that you have, the attacks and the submissions, and then you have let's say the moves, right? Yeah. And then you have the other moves that are there with the sole purpose of survival,
pretty much. Yeah.
And like the raft, the boat, you know, if you're going through a river, like it's the raft, it's your insurance, it's your seatbelt.
It's not even that in jiu-jitsu, because we're not in a raft. I'm fighting you. You've got this. When I'm fighting you, you're trying to do the same thing as me. We're trying to solve the puzzle of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I will learn 1 million techniques, but practice 50, is the 50 I practice the most is the 50 I'm the best at. Why do I learn the other 900,999, whatever? Because you're going to be good at them, or someone else will be good at them.
Yep.
And I don't want to be clueless on what you're doing till it's too late. You know what I mean? I want to have some idea. And the more mechanics I learn, whether I like to use them or not, I absorb them and how they work. And then it's easier for me to identify them when someone else is using them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm not lost in the game. Even though there's a lot of techniques I hardly will use X-Guard. I won't say never, because sometimes you just end up in the position where it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't look for it. It's not like something I shoot for. Like, I don't shoot for the X guard. I should never shoot for like deep half. I'll never say I never end up in deep half guard.
Yeah.
But I don't shoot for deep half guard. I never shoot for the position. Like, I don't like try to get there.
Why not?
I don't like it. I don't know. I have things that I prefer to do from half guard than deep half guard. But sometimes a person will step in a way where it's like, it's right in front of you, and it's an easy thing to do, or it's going to be a successful movement, sweep, whatever, or back take, mm-hmm. movement to the back, where it's obvious it's going to work. But I don't like to sort of force mechanics and things like that from deep. It's not my game. The game I prefer to play is more self-defense, and in front of you, if somebody moves to a position where they might be, you know, maybe technically mounted and I've caught a leg or something like that, or and they slide up where it's easy to turn back and deep half guard them, I might do it, but I won't.
So I don't shoot. You get there by chance, but you prefer to be in like a half guard position.
I prefer to be in a position at all times where my opponent is not in a place where they can hit me. Like even though we're not, we're not hitting each other when we're grappling, I prefer to train that way. Yeah,
that's what makes sense, right?
Like yeah. Well, for me, that's how. That's the way I learned jiu-jitsu. For me, like I didn't learn by. Yeah, it's cool that you can get under the guy, and but I learned that if I'm under you and you got two hands free, I'm gonna get my face smashed. Mm-hmm. Like so, you don't go to positions like that. Whereas half guard, when I'm further out, I have the ability to defend myself from strikes. And if you close down the position where you're holding on to me and you're latched on in a way, well, then you can't strike me so well. You're too tight. You know, you're holding on. We're clinched.
Mm-hmm.
So I can clinch you back and I can stop the strikes again.
Yeah.
So I prefer to play more like that. It may seem boring to some of the younger guys that like to be always moving and moving and moving and they stick their heads where they shouldn't put them. But I think you build bad habits. So I don't.
Like I think both parts, both directions, if you go in different directions, but they're all infinite. There's like infinite direction.
I don't know
on
anyone.
These different directions, there are infinite possibilities. Correct. On those
options. I don't tell anyone you can't do anything. You can do whatever you like. I just understand the inherent risk. If you get into a fight and you've built an autopilot that looks for deep half guard, you're probably going to look for deep half guard. You know? Like if you drop to those positions, you see a leg and you're always grabbing that leg and pulling yourself in and under, you're going to do that in a fight too. You're going to do that. You're not, your instinct won't be to move away.
And is your priority then?
So I don't like to do that. I try to build my autopilot in a way that's more self-defense oriented.
That's the thing. Your priority then is, you know, training in a way, for a different game.
Correct. Just in case.
We're playing a different game inherently.
Yeah, and I found... it's easier on my back as well. I may not get as many sweeps. I may not score as many points.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no referees in the training room here where I train. Like no one's scoring points here anyway. So
yeah.
I don't care about, you know, there's no time limit into my head in terms of I got to get on top in this amount of time. I just train. I had my 44th birthday a week ago. I don't train.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I don't train for... I just train to stay fit and mobile. And I actually train to maintain my ability as a coach. And I try to... I get a lot of joy out of watching people progress and learn jiu-jitsu now. And learn, go from nothing to advanced. And then the advanced guys, I like watching them get better and better. And, we've made four first degree black belts in here. They're all good coaches, fantastic coaches, and I watch them instruct. Cam's about to go off and open his own academy and he's going to be fantastic. He's about to go plant his own flag and start his own thing, so that's going to build over the next decade, and I'm excited to watch him do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cool.
So what I'm hearing here is there could be different goals in training. And you said jiu-jitsu is for life, right?
That's the goal.
That's what you were saying, like at the beginning. That's why we do it. Now, if for some people was like within the different realm of jiu-jitsu that let's say is a sporting endeavor, that it's a sport.
Yeah.
Then there's a difference in looking at using jiu-jitsu for life and using it as a sport. You know, because if you're playing it as a sport, then the goal is to kind of
win.
Compete in the sport and win.
Yeah.
So we've created now different parameters of success for the different games that we are playing.
You cannot forget all the other benefits that come from jiu-jitsu apart from just the sport. The sport is one tiny part of this. The biggest benefits that come from jiu-jitsu for me, and not just training, but being involved in a good school, is... the social benefits. You're going to be involved in a good culture with good people. You're going to make 50 good friends that are going to be good people in your life, added new people in your life. You're all working towards a similar goal. You have the same goal, really. You're improving yourselves in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're all trying to improve, and the improvement is massive. Jiu-jitsu has so many areas that it helps improve your life in. The physical fitness side is almost like a consequence to learning the martial art. Like, you're going to get fitter just turning up to class. You're going to get stronger. You're going to get more flexible. That is going to bring psychological benefits. It's mm-hmm. going to make you happier, healthier, more confident. And all of that is going to make you a better person. And if in a long enough timeline, this whole martial art, when you get to a point where you've trained with a million people, when you've tapped a million and been tapped a million times, you're going to get to a point where you're like, okay, if I'm going to keep doing this, I got to look into it and how I can take the lessons from this martial art and put them into my life. And you start addressing your life in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the shortcomings I have as a person, I address them head on. The same way when I was working as a white belt or a blue belt to stop people or to escape from the mount position, to learn the mount escapes and to get better at defending the you know, the guard passing. And, you know, when at night when it's 10:30 p.m. and I'm tired and I look at that ice cream and I really want it, but I'm 44 and I shouldn't have it, I don't have it. It's easier to have the discipline. And I found jiu-jitsu has been a tool that's helped me do all that. Not just ice cream, everything. You know, everything. Make better decisions. You know, stop and assess to make sure you make a better decision. You start strategizing in your life the way you strategize in the fight. And you start thinking forward as much as possible rather than just living and being in the moment. And this is a part that I think a lot of guys that train jiu-jitsu almost blindly, they're just looking for the way to win the fight, And they can be amazing black belts on the mat, but then they're white belts in life. And mm-hmm. you can't be a white belt in life because, you know, you live, you know, I do this full time. This is my job. So I wear a gi more hours than most people in the day. But it's still only maybe 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day, tops, 5 hours a day that I'm going to have the gi on.
That's a big day.
And that's a big day. Days, 5 hours. Well, yeah, days. I know, but even an 8 hour day, that means you spend 16 hours of that day not in the gi.
Yeah.
So were you a black belt for 8 hours and then a white belt for 16? Well, that's no good if you were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking about, you know, have you got your life in order? Do you have, you know, are you achieving the goals off the mat that you want to be achieving as well? And these are the things that jiu-jitsu gives you a tool to start breaking down and assessing yourself honestly.
I think that's
because that's the thing when you're fighting.
Definition there.
No one can help you in a fight. You go to your coach and say, "Hey, man, this guy keeps doing this, blah blah blah." He shows you what to do, and you go back. If you don't work on that, it's not a magic tool just because I showed you. Mm-hmm. You got to work it out and get the timing of it right and learn how to do it. You got to come back and work on it and work on it and work on it to get it right.
Yeah.
So now, when you go home and you you can't work your shit out. Whatever your bills, you're not making enough money. Whatever it is. You can cry about society, or you can turn around and say, what's in my control that I can change here? What can I look internally and fix here? What can I start doing? And all of a sudden, you'll find ways to do things. Oh, it takes work. It's actual. Yeah, it's going to take work. Just like jiu-jitsu is going to take work to get good. Yeah, you're not going to see many really lazy black belts. Not full-timers. Not the guys that, you know, they shouldn't be anyway. At one point, they wouldn't have been for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they've gone off the rails lately in their life, but to get there, you can't be lazy, man. You're going to have to work hard. At some point, you're going to have to put a lot of consistent work in. And if you lose sight of that, it's easy to go off the rails. But then as we get older, obviously we can't keep fighting. Does that mean we have to stop training? I don't think so. You can keep training. If you learn how to train properly, you can keep training. You can train even with the little monsters and just stop them from beating you up. You can't beat them.
I watched a video of Cyborg, a bro. He was having a grapple at his dojo with another fella. I think it was a younger competitor.
Mm.
And the younger competitor was smashing him.
Yeah.
And it was tapping him. And I'm like, that's a tough guy there. He hasn't lost his toughness, but he's lost something else.
He's old, though.
Physically, he's getting old, you know? He's old. And so in the game that he chooses to play, slowly but surely, there's no other choice but to kind of to dip.
Well, there's no way around it. But the thing is, he's not going to stop training. So at some point, he'll have to stop competing. But will he stop training? He'll stop training with that intensity. But now this is what I'm saying. If that's the only way he's learned how to train, and that's the only way he's learned how to do jiu-jitsu.
If the goal is just to win.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard transition for him,
mm-hmm.
I think.
But so what's the goal then if it's not to win in this game of jiu-jitsu?
Pedro Sauer told me this a long time ago, And you gotta, if you plan on being on the mats till you're an old man, when you're young, while you're young and you're training, you gotta invest 10%. In your 20s, 10% or 20% of your training, like you're 80 years old. And as you get to your 30s, you gotta do 20 to 30% of your training, like you're 80 years old.
Yep.
And when you get to your, like, imagine you're 80 years old. So that means move as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Connect yourself. Just stay safe. Yep. Just move around with these guys. Don't go after anyone.
Becomes a thing, right?
Yeah, because if you plan on being 80 on the mat, you have to have some practice being 80 on the mat, which means you're not going to be moving a lot. You're going to have to hold positions, learn how to make little adjustments to stay safe and be able to breathe,
mm-hmm.
little adjustments to block, don't chase people around. Use the closed guard a lot. Close the half guard a lot. Close people down. Let them lay on you, adjust so you're not getting crushed. Learn yep. to do all these little things where you can hold positions for a while. That way you can train for a long time. If you invest while you're young, a little bit of time in that sort of training, as you get older, that's going to be your requirement. Yes, you have to hold people and slow them down till you get older. And, older. And you, as you've invested over time, you're going to have built technical ability in these positions and you'll be able to work from these positions. Otherwise, you know, it's going to come a day for everybody. Unfortunately, the human condition is we deteriorate.
There's no other choice.
To a point to death. You know, we're going to die. We all die.
We're dying slowly.
Yeah, we're slowly dying. So at some point, unfortunately, we all break down. But the point is to prolong. And prolong, not just prolong the
and
process.
And have fun, for sure.
Not just prolong the process. You want to keep doing the things you love to do. I can't foresee a time where I'm not going to like this. I've been doing this for a quarter of a century, more than half my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like doing it. And I do it every day. You know, of course, I'm not lying. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm human. I've gone in ups and downs. There's times I'm like, man, I'd love a little break. I want some time off. But then there's times I'm looking at it, I'm just jazzed and I can't wait to train.
Fascinated.
I'm fascinated by it and I'm in love with it. And this is like 20 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So jiu-jitsu is one of those things. You just got to stay with it. And if you stay with it, it will keep rewarding you at different levels. As you develop and understand the martial art more, you'll be able to start taking the lessons into your life and incorporating them into your world, in everywhere, in everything, your relationships with your kids, your wife, your students, your friends around, everybody. It's cool. And you make cool friends, and you learn bitchin' moves, and you stay mobile, and you stay fit, and you stay strong. And it's in general, because we grapple on the ground, you can do the exercise for longer than you can do a lot of the stand-up stuff, because your mobility tends to wane on your feet as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you notice a lot of guys can grapple into their late 70s and 80s. They're still grappling. They can move on the ground a lot better than their feet.
Yes, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, there's a higher number of people that can. You know, so it all helps.
So what do you say then to, like, I feel like, you know, if you have an idea of jiu-jitsu, if you perceive jiu-jitsu to be the sport of grappling, then all these other things that you're discussing become different problems, you know, like, it's like, you know, don't do jiu-jitsu to make your life better. Go read a self-improvement book, you know, or do something. Like,
nah, but a self-improvement book won't get your heart rate up, and it won't get your blood pumping, and no one's going to tackle you, and you're not going to learn how to choke people at the same time. Like, this is like all those things wrapped into one. But the self-improvement stuff with jiu-jitsu doesn't come quickly.
That takes time.
Yeah. Yes. You gotta get good at jiu-jitsu first.
That's probably why, you know, you look at Professor and he talks like that.
Yeah.
Because he's old and he's seen it.
Because he's, no, this is the thing. Like, Professor has shown me techniques, jiu-jitsu techniques,
mm-hmm.
that he's shown me in about 2014. And I'm like, what the fuck? As if that's gonna fucking work. You'll mm-hmm. never catch anyone there. What the fuck? And I'm thinking, no way. Like, that's not gonna work. And I've tried it and forget it, it failed. And 8 years later, it just starts landing in my hands. It's right in front of me. I'm like, oh my God, look at this.
Yeah, right.
Like, this guy's like, not, he's not 8-10 years ahead. Like, he's just light years ahead in the game. That move was just coming out. And like, I can show you the move later that I'm talking about. But I could not find it for the life of me while I was looking for him. And then 8 years later, I got better and better. And I found that, like, I was doing the other technique better. So
mm-hmm.
led into it. And all of a sudden, this technique was just landing in my hands. I was like, oh, look at this.
There he goes. Comes back.
And I'm thinking, immediately thought of him. I'm like, this dude was showing me this a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, he's crazy. It's not going to work. It's a, you know, but it was just happening. Like, but I'm a decade late, you know? I'm not a decade late, I'm a decade behind in being even into that spot yet to get the first part right, to get to the next part. So it's easy when you start seeing things like this, if you follow one guy and then 10 years later, the lessons are coming through. You're like, oh my God.
Is that
when he speaks, you listen to him.
Is that knowledge versus wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Wisdom just takes...
Forget it.
You can't, experience and...
Can't buy experience. Time. You can't buy that time that he's put into jiu-jitsu, that amount of time. And then when he talks to you about what it is in terms of being a vehicle for self-improvement, when you look at... Man, when I met Professor Sauer, I was a bank manager at the National Australia Bank. I was 26 years old, 25 or 24. I was young, 25 years old maybe. I was a bank manager at the National Australia Bank. I was on good money. I was about to get my brown belt in jiu-jitsu. I was a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. When I met that dude, just the polish on the man, how...
It's just, yeah.
I just looked and I thought, I got to try and copy as much of this as possible. It transformed my life to the point where I'm not even, I'm doing this now for a living. I'm doing jiu-jitsu for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's changed. Like, it changed everything about my perspective on the world and what a person could make out of their life. And the polish on him.
Just the polish. That's the
polish. The thing is, and he spoke about it, it's just jiu-jitsu's done this for me. Jiu-jitsu's done this for me. And it's taken me 20 years or another 15 years from where I took off listening to him, 16 years now from when I started listening to Professor to now, to realize what he was talking about. And it's like, oh my Lord, like this is going, and it is, it's just improving and improving.
It just continues to give.
And it's
going to
continue to improve my life.
Yeah.
Because the lesson, I've gone through that point of just fighting.
I think we're back. Okay. So, you met Professor and you were a bank manager.
Yeah, it changed my life. Changed the direction of my life after that.
And
I ended up doing this. Now I'm doing this for a living, doing jiu-jitsu for a living. And that was all because of, you know, just... It didn't start out as soon as I saw him. I thought, oh my God, I got to run an academy for a living. It just ended up going that way.
So before...
Four years later, I was running an academy.
Before you met Professor, and before I met Professor and you, what did you want from your jiu-jitsu?
I was a young dickhead. I didn't know. I just wanted to fight. I wanted to learn how to fight.
And what purpose was actually fighting serving for you?
I was working as a bouncer, and I was boxing. So I only knew how to punch people in the head. I only knew how to... And it wasn't like...
Poor bastards.
It was okay when people were aggressive and saying no, but then when people were not aggressive and saying no, it was like, this is awkward. Like, they're just going, no, I'm not leaving. Well, what do I do now? Just put a combo on him and drop him. Like, this is weird. Like, no, come on, man, you gotta go. No, I'm not going.
Shit.
Man, you gotta go. Like, you gotta go. I'm gonna hit you. Like, I don't know what to do. And then I'm grabbing him and trying to drag him, and they're just standing their ground. I'm like, oh man, this is bad. Like, I gotta smash you. Like, I don't know what else to do.
There's a hammer and it has to be swung.
Yeah, like, and then I'm like, and I ended up, I didn't actually have ever hit anyone that I didn't need to, but I had like a couple of encounters like that where I wanted to remove someone and they were just being like a non-compliant cock, but they weren't fighting. So I couldn't, like, it would have been me escalating the situation if I started throwing punches, and then I would have been the bad guy in the crowd's eyes that couldn't hear him saying no and me saying, you got to go. So it's like, I ended up, I can't remember how, we just sort of dragged him out with someone else helping me, whatever, but I just remember thinking at the time, like, I've got to sort this out. If I'm going to keep doing this job, I've got to have a way to remove people from like, I've got to have a way to, like, throw people out of nightclubs, you know, out of the place without punching the shit out of them. And so I started looking, and I did Aikido for a little while, and that was pretty cool. And then the jiu-jitsu worked better. I liked it right away. I learned some cool stuff. My first instructor that I had showed me some, he was working as a bouncer at the time too. And he was quite a violent person. But anyway, he showed me some cool shit to throw people out of places. And that's how I started. I started because I was working as a security guard, and I only knew how to hit people. and it wasn't the most efficient way to remove non-compliant, non-violent, you know,
people. So you're saying that you needed something other than a hammer?
Yeah, I needed something more than just punching people in the head. Because it wasn't, the dragging people wouldn't work. If they were heavier than me, they wouldn't drag. They just wouldn't drag. So it was a problem. Yeah, but then I learned some moves, how to drop people very quickly. Like my first few months training, I learned a few like easy takedowns, easy little foot sweeps, trips, because I was working as a bouncer. My coach taught me some stuff. And it was working right away. And yeah, I kept training. Yeah, I was strong. So I was able to like force a lot of shit on and trip people over. And it was working.
And I'm sure you're good at jiu-jitsu, right? Like I'm sure that the white belts and the blue belts. I was a decent athlete. Everyone copped it when they came and trained with Phil as a white belt and a blue belt.
I was a decent, young, strong athlete when I started. So I was a good young. I was 19 when I first, like I was 18 years old when I did my first class. And then I started on my 19th birthday. First, like, signed up, started training jiu-jitsu. And I trained every day
that year. That was me too, roughly 19.
Yeah, I was on my 19th birthday I started. So I remember it was my birthday, so I'll never fucking forget it. And, yeah, I signed up on my birthday and trained 5 days a week. There was only 5 days a week available. So I trained every day. And, yeah, it was cool. I loved it.
All right, and so when you
there wasn't a lot of people training. There wasn't a lot of people training yet, so I was crushing a lot of people.
Yeah,
I was crushing a lot of heads early on. I'm looking back, I feel like a prick. I would have made a lot of people quit.
And then you went to Murat.
No, that was the first gym I trained. That was with Rob Williams.
Yeah,
in Jewel Station in Brunswick. The first gym was in Coburg, where it was at the back of a weights gym. He just had some mats at the back of a weights gym, but he was only there for like a month. And then he moved to Brunswick, and I didn't train there because I was playing football the year before. And I trained towards the end of the football season. I went and did one session. My brother was training in Coburg, and then he moved to Brunswick, and then I went down the next year. I went down in February the next year, about six, seven months later.
Yeah, okay.
And joined up in Brunswick at Jewel Station at Morgan's Gym. Morgan's, a karate, I can't remember what the name of the karate school is now. But there was a karate school at the end, right in front of Jewel Station in Brunswick, just before Parkville. Yeah, it's still there, the dojo's still there. Morgan owned the building. It was a beautiful old building, right abutting the train station, right near the city. Yeah, and did jiu-jitsu there. And then he moved from there after about a year and a half training there. He had an issue with the rant and they needed the time. So he moved from there to the city, Rob. And then I went to the city not many times. I only went to the city maybe for a few months because I was getting parking fines and it was hard to get there. So I stopped going there. So then I started going to Hangar 4 in Essendon. And at the same time, I was going to Dominance in Richmond. And I didn't have the best experience down there. I'm in better terms with the guys now, but at the time we were all young and stupid. And anyway, they didn't like me that much. I was coming from the northern suburbs down there. They were all eastern suburbs softcocks, and they didn't like me coming in. They were trying to show me what's what, and I was smashing everyone. They didn't want to train. Well, anyway, it was hard. It was a shit. I didn't have a great time down there. But anyway, I'm good with the boys now. I trained there for about a year and a half, left there, did a bunch of sessions in St Kilda, didn't like that. That place was, anyway, I didn't like it down there. I won't say why, just didn't like it. The people were okay, just didn't like the place. And then I stopped. I left jiu-jitsu for about a year. This whole time, by the way, my experience was not fantastic anywhere, like at any school. Rob's was the place that I started at, but even there, my first session, I got choked unconscious. Yeah, so it's like, okay, what the fuck? So
that was Rob that did it?
Yeah, right. Rob the dickhead, the fucking choked me out. First session, first
move. How did you do that?
Because I was standing in front of him and he shit himself because he knew I used to play footy. And he's going, oh, we're going to do, okay, yeah, I'm right. I'm looking at him like, so we're going to wrestle. And I'm just looking at him like, I'm going to pick you up and slam you through the ground, you little fucker. I'm just looking at him. And he's looking at me, and he was worried because I was a lot bigger than him. So he puts his fucking jacket on me. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, put whatever you want on me. I'll wear a hat too. I'm still going to pick you up and slam you through the earth. And he's like, no, we'll go down. We'll start on our knees. I'm like, all right, what the fuck are we doing now? And now we're on our knees, facing each other on the knees. And I'm like, when I say go, you got to get me down or I get you down. I'm like, okay, from our knees. I'm like, okay. ready, go. I lunge forward. This cockhead jumps up to his feet. He jumps up onto his feet. So I lunge forward and I fall down on all fours. And he grabs my neck and puts me in a what I now know is like a loop choke.
Yeah.
And he just choked me unconscious on the spot. Like hard. Like I'm like, you motherfucker. My first class, you put me on my knees. But like, and put a jacket on me. And then puts me on my knees so he could do this move to me. I'm like, all right. So like, I wanted revenge. That's why I sort of signed up. I'm like, fucking kill this guy. But anyway, that was my first class of jiu-jitsu. That was my introduction to jiu-jitsu. But yeah, that was my first gym. Trained there, and that was just rough. Everyone was rough back then. But every gym was rough back then. We were all training rough as guts.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I left that after my bad experience of dominance. Dave popped my elbow on purpose, the cockhead. And left that. And big Dave Christick.
Yeah.
And then left dominance, left altogether. Went back, played footy for another year or two. And then my brother joined Murat, and he goes, come and train with Murat. Come, I found this guy, he's pretty cool. So I went down, and Murat was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just, you've met Murat. He was the same guy back then. He's just super chilled out. Look, yeah, man, everything's cool. Yep, come and train. So I trained with him, and I enjoyed it. He had a good environment. It was still tough, rough, tough environment, but I don't know. He was a wog too, and he appreciated me a little better. It was easier to get along in there. I don't know. It was a better environment
had
for me.
Had Murat met Pedro at this stage?
Murat had just met Pedro. He just got back. Okay. He'd left. When he opened his gym, he left from the Beans, and he was like...
Well, he was at the Beans as well.
Yeah, he was at the Beans. He started at Pete's, and then Pete alienated every wog that trained there, so Murat sort of left, and he went and joined... he went and found Professor.
Wow, okay.
And he went overseas and found Professor.
Yep.
And joined Professor's Association.
You guys organized the first...
He trained in America for like... He was in America for...
Utah.
He was in Utah for a bunch. I think like 5 or 6 weeks. And then went to Brazil for like 5 months. Or 4 months. He went to Brazil.
Professor was there?
He trained with Professor a little bit. And then he trained with Breno Sivak. And he trained at Humaita for a bunch of months.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then I might have that back to front. He might have been in Brazil first. And then from there he went and found Professor. And then he stayed in with Utah for like 6 weeks. And then from there he came back home.
He brought it back to Melbourne. Yeah, and opened and then that's when you met him.
And I met him here, yeah. And I kept hounding him from then. That was like, oh...
Hounding him for what?
To bring Professor. Uh-huh. That was from like 04, 03, 04. I was hounding him from then till... When did Professor first come here? 08, 09. Mm-hmm. Somewhere there. And in the end, he did it. Murat's like, just take it. Gives me all the info. He's like, gives me his email, gives me his phone number.
First one.
Gives me, like, just bring him out. I can't just do it. You bring him out. Ring him up, call him, do whatever you got to do. So I started ringing him until I got him. And he's like, yeah, I'll come. And he came.
Okay, Professor.
And the first one cost, like, I don't know. We fucked up. We didn't know. We thought we'd bring out royalty. So we're like, we put him up in this sneak hotel. And fucking, we rented this massive gym and rented mats and this massive dude and just lost our ass. Just lost so much money. It was a big seminar. We had like maybe 70 or 80 people come to the seminar.
How much did you charge for the first one?
100 and... Bro, it was a massive seminar. It was $200, maybe $180, but it was 2 3-hour seminars.
And people came?
Yeah, it was $140 or $120 for 3 hours, or $180 for six. Three, lunch, and then another three.
Was that just the Nexus boys that attended it?
No, it was open.
Other people came out.
Yeah, we had a bunch of fucking all the high-level black belts from Melbourne came. Pretty much everyone. Like Carlos Vieira came from...
Oh, wow.
Everyone came. It was the first time a coral belt had ever come to Australia.
Okay.
No coral belt had ever come here before. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Because you just showed a bunch of basic shit and everyone was like, what the fuck? Everyone spun out the technicality. And that was it. That was the first time we all saw him. It was like, whoa, this is amazing. And that changed my life, that seminar.
Okay, that's...
The first 3 hours of that seminar changed my jiu-jitsu. Like, instantly.
Why?
Just what connected. It was like I was working in the dark for 10 years up to that point. And like, you know, if you're in a dark room, you've been in your bedroom in the dark, you know where everything is. You know where your
now, you know, where everything is in your bedroom. Yeah, you can walk around your bedroom. You can get up to take a piss in the middle of the night.
I got a new bed 2 weeks ago.
You bung your toes all the time.
But now I'm back. I can close my eyes. I can just feel it all out.
So you know where everything is. But it's different when the light's on. You know exactly where everything is.
Uh-huh.
So imagine you're in a room for 8 years and it's dark. But you're in there for 8 years. You know where everything is, pretty much. But you could be in this room for 8 years and not know that air conditioner's there if it was dark. You could be in this room for 8 years and not know that there's hooks up there on that door if it's dark. Shut that door. You could be in this room for 8 years and not know a lot of things about this room if it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when you flick the light on, you're going to see everything. It was like I'd been working for 8 years in the dark, and Professor came along, and in the first 3 hours, he put the light on, man. Like,
yeah.
It was just a bunch of shit that he said in the first 3 hours. It was generic. It applied to all positions. When he was explaining certain positions, it made sense of all positions. Tell him to get out. It made sense of all the positions. So, it just helped. It helped. So, it changed my jiu-jitsu that day. It changed my perspective on jiu-jitsu that day. And, yeah, everything changed. My whole life changed that day. You know, my perspective on jiu-jitsu changed completely. I was ready to quit. I was thinking about my black belt. I was a purple belt, ready to get my brown that week. And I was thinking about coming to the end of my jiu-jitsu journey. Like, I'm thinking, I'm going to finish up. I'm going to get my black belt and say to everyone, I got my black belt. You know, I did it. It was 10 years of getting bashed and breaking my body.
You did
it. Smashed my knees. I hurt my neck and hurt my shoulders and elbows. But I did it.
Yep.
And I still didn't really understand it. And then that day when he came in, it lit a fire because I started understanding things. It was like, oh my God, shit started making sense.
The thing is,
it was the first time things were making real sense, a lot of sense.
Even though before that, you had a bunch of techniques. You were like strangling people, you were armbar breaking them, you were leg walking, you were doing everything, right?
I was doing everything.
So you're playing the game.
I was winning purple belt tournaments. I was doing everything.
But then something else came about, like something that Professor showed.
No, it made sense.
What was the light? Like, what was the light?
I can't even tell you what it is now because I've been doing it this way so long. Like, I can't even remember exactly what the moment was, but it had something to do with alignment.
Yep.
With structural alignment. That's all it was. And it was something like that he said to do with his bones in line with bones and then the bones crossing bones. And it was like...
different like, dimensions.
Just that, I think it was, and it blew my fucking mind because my brain went, oh my God, that goes everywhere. Like, I started thinking, and he was showing it maybe from like I think it was cross body. He was underneath cross body. No, he was underneath north south.
Okay.
And he was explaining an escape from north south, bottom north south. And the way he explained it was like, oh my God, that makes sense for passing guard. That makes sense for when people are passing your guard. That makes sense in the mount. That makes sense. And it lit this fucking, it was like in the movies, you know, when you see the brain light up and see that's what happened in my head. Like, oh my God, that shit goes everywhere.
Yep.
And it was like an alignment thing to do with the structure and the skeletons and the crossing bones and blocking bones. And
Phil, you know
those things when he said them, when he first said them to me, it was like, oh my God. It was like, oh my God, this is how this works.
Yeah.
I understand every technique now. Like, every technique, I just got to make it work like that. And it was like, I went back to the mat. That night, man, we finished that seminar that night. You can ask Murat this if you speak to him. We finished that seminar. We finished the 2-3 hour sessions, took Professor back to his hotel, talked shit with him for 2 hours, dropped him off. It was like 11:30. Then me and Murat went back. We smoked a joint. And we're talking shit in the car. It was like 1 a.m. when we finished talking shit. We're like, man, I want to train. He goes, I want to train too. And we're at the front of his dojo. It was like 1 in the morning. And we went in and we started training jiu-jitsu at 1 in the morning. And we were both 100% better. I'm not joking. We trained till like 3:30, 4 in the morning. We left the dojo like 4:30. Birds were chirping. It was the best, man. My jiu-jitsu skyrocketed and I started his. From that one session that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day we're back 8 in the morning picking up Professor, buzzing like little kids, man.
And that buzz is still going to this day, right? Because you opened up a key to a different box and you just saw this.
Well, the thing is, for me, I've been doing it that way now for a long time.
Magic.
So I've been able to pass it along to others and watch others take it and run with it. And then it's beautiful. It's beautiful watching others take it.
Isn't that a gift, though? It's because we, you and I together, like, I started playing a different game. Like, I wasn't playing by the rules that we play with today. But and see, so now we've got new students who come in and they're learning this.
But the way you're learning, the way
from day one.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying to you. But this is jiu-jitsu for life. Mm-hmm. And this is why some people can lose track. Like, you had some students that recently went off trail and ran off. Trust me, for me, those guys made a mistake because they don't have any other point of reference to jiu-jitsu. If they came to you rather than running away, you would have been able to guide them better, even in their own journey to go off and be competitors, because they're in their first, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of training. You're 16, 17 years, I'm four times longer than these guys training. If they ask me, I go for it.
I'm just happy that they have a good education of jiu-jitsu that you know we've provided through this story.
God bless them, bro.
You know?
God bless everyone. I don't wish bad on anyone. I wish them all the success in the world. But you're going to find those guys are going to find in their own life they're going to regret that they didn't approach you about it. They're going to say at some point in time they're going to stop and say, "Man, probably would have been easier if you had him as an ally." You know what I mean? Like, why not? There's no need to have him on the other side because I have not stopped anyone here going anywhere, starting an academy, opening the thing, teaching anywhere. Go ahead, man. You have my full support. Try to stab me in the back. What the hell are you doing? I'm supporting you. You know what I mean? But God bless them. They'll find their own way. They're inexperienced. They'll work it out themselves in the long run because they're going to have infighting on their own now. Watch. Swear to see it happen. I don't wish it on them, but it's going to happen.
The thing that I think is a
when
gift.
When you do it forever, if you plan to do this forever, everyone that comes into your life is a gift when you realize that. Every person I've ever trained with, I'm gracious for and I'm thankful for. I don't regret anyone I ever trained with, including the people that I had roles with and got injured after them. I don't care. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for every moment I've spent on the mats. I love this shit. And if you keep doing it, it's going to keep giving you benefit in your life. That's why I do it. And if you do it this way, the way I think we teach it, and you're teaching it the same way because I watch your students and I've trained in your school, they will do it for life. The ones that take the message. Not everybody, but the ones that do. The ones that take the message.
I just feel like there's a different message at hand. And that different message for me came when I met Professor as well.
Mm.
Well, I met you at the Steve Maxwell seminar. Yeah. And then I met Professor in Bondi at Eagle MMA.
Mm.
And someone had said, they were hearing how I was trying to teach because I just destroyed my shoulder. And I couldn't. Had to keep my elbows in. Had to start making frames and just started clicking for me. And then I go to Eagle MMA, the seminar there, and I see Professor, I meet him for the first time, and you were on the mat. Yeah, come here there. And you guys showed me just a different world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just flipped the whole script of the game, the whole code.
That's what happened to me.
The coding changed that night for me. And I was like, I don't know, like, what I knew techniques before that, man. I was running the school. I knew techniques. I had techniques, but there was something else that came through.
The strategy of jiu-jitsu, the real strategy, which is, you know, survival,
which is,
and give the right response.
Which is, I feel,
the right response.
There was an article the boys posted in the Discord and had an idea of, like, you know, finite games versus infinite games.
Hmm.
And I think it's a nice way to sum it up. I was playing a finite game prior to meeting you guys.
Yeah.
And then when I met and, like, experienced Pedro Sauer Jiu-Jitsu and just seeing Professor, it's created the idea of an infinite game.
Yeah.
Where we're playing for life. We're not playing simply for the next competition, for the medal, for the first spot, for the second spot. We're playing, like, the game of life. You know what I'm saying? And it's in that game of life, I think what's most, like, looking for quality of life. And then you see somebody like Professor Sauer, who's just the model person, and, like, he's just polished everywhere. And he's showing us how, like, the what that looks like in reality. You know, when you play jiu-jitsu, the long game of jiu-jitsu, it's, you if become
gonna,
a better person.
If you're going to continue to do this after black belt, and when you get older, and when you're not going to compete anymore, if you're going to continue to do this, then you need to find something more to it than just beating the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about improvement, self-improvement. Me beating you does not improve me. It doesn't. If I have weaknesses in my game, I should be able to identify them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I use you as a training partner, I should be able to use you to fix my weaknesses. And if you think you fix your weaknesses, you're wrong. Because no one's perfect. You can always be improving. There's things you can always improve. There's always things you could be doing better.
And no that's doubt. Yeah.
And that's not just in jiu-jitsu. That's your life. And that's my life too. And when you take that as an approach to your jiu-jitsu, that I'm here for a journey of improving, not beating people. Improving Phil. Phil has to get better at the end of the day here. I want to get better while I'm doing jiu-jitsu, at doing jiu-jitsu. When I get home, when I'm talking to my kids, I want to get better at being a father. When I'm talking with my wife, I want to be a better husband. When I'm talking, you know, whatever I'm doing, I want to get better at doing it. That's the whole idea.
And you're using jiu-jitsu as the vehicle for that.
Jiu-jitsu opened my eyes to this. This is not what life is. This is what the fucking Bible says. You know, improve yourself.
I guess that's what, like, Kano was talking about with judo as well.
It's what it is. It's a vehicle.
It wasn't just, like, it was the sport, sure.
The sport takes you down this path. It starts you on the path when you're young. But if you're going to continue, there's got to be more to it.
Yeah.
And then you take, when eventually it shows you that, you know, that's why the Japanese don't call them martial arts. It's not called killing arts in Japanese. It's called the gentle art or the way or the art or, you know, they've all got a different name, which is nothing to do with killing.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing you the way, the gentle way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you take that on board, these are people that didn't name these things by chance. What the hell does the gentle art have to do with breaking necks and arms?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do it for long enough, you'll pay attention, you'll see. It's not about just breaking legs and arms. It's about learning the way to make the most efficient path to navigate your way through a situation.
And so when with that being like said,
that, you use that for life.
So it becomes beyond, it becomes more than a sport. It becomes
jiu-jitsu for life.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Not just for the duration of your life, but for your life.
I love it. Big Phil, I just want to, we're short of time. We're going to go do some trading now.
Yeah, we've got a class in 10 minutes.
So I just want to say, I see you and Professor as two polished dudes and, you know, always looking to make yourselves better, and that helps me make my school better. And
trying.
I think we owe a lot to you guys, so thank you very much. I think we're on a very important path, and this is a path of helping people get better on the mats, but off the mats as well, you know, and I'll always have an eye to that, just like we do, you know. There's a bigger game at play, and that's the long game. And that's where I want to put my attention and my focus on with everybody. And let's go practice that, huh?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank you.